don't have.
Welcome everybody to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast slash show slash whatever we're calling it at this point, right? I mean, there's no, we don't know yet. I mean, we're just trying to still work things out, but it is a podcast, so that will drop later on this afternoon around 12:30 on all your favorite streaming platforms. Meaning, you know, whether it be iTunes, if you're a normal human being and you have an iPhone, that's where you go. If you're one of those weirdos with the droids, go over to Spotify. Can you listen to Spotify on an iPhone? Yes, right?
I have do listen to Spotify on my
iPhone.
See,
I'm that old. The technology is just not my deal.
Like you didn't ask that, Dave.
Well, I did ask that, Chris. Anyway, Sturch, Gooch, not on the couch anymore. And, of course, AJ Bass going behind the glass for another episode. A lot of stuff went down last night, but something we almost jumped right over, which I'm very surprised because I'm like, this is one of the most catastrophic things I've ever seen. This is the most bizarre story since Manti Te'o had a fake girlfriend.
It's even worse. It's even more bizarre.
I think so, because I mean, there's
so many layers to this. It's one thing to have one guy get catfished by seemingly one person.
Right.
This is very different.
But then she died, so there wasn't even a thing.
But whoever the person that was catfishing him,
right,
was one person.
And she died.
Did she actually?
I don't know. Like, he killed off their character like it's a sitcom.
He killed the fake person.
Yes.
But the person that was catfishing him is still with us. I'm pretty sure.
Maybe. That show is amazing, by the way. You ever watch that catfish show?
It's September 1st, bro.
It is September 1st. It is officially football season. And you know what? Not for nothing, the football gods are shining down on us because we had all these worries. Nah, I had the worries. Everybody else doesn't really worry as much as I do. Chris is a very passive, loose, just don't worry about anything. Let things go as they come. But personally,
a blessing and a curse, my friend.
I know, but for me, I was worried about the rain and the hurricane, whatever they're calling it. Ida. Anyway, that hurricane is on its way here, and I think it's hitting today. So it's all the rain is here today. We have power for now, which is great. We're actually September 1st. Is the official, we own this bitch now, right? Like, this is official. This is our shebang, right? Yeah. Nobody really knew that.
It's also my New Year's. I feel like New Year's is depressing. So on September 1st, for whatever reason, the start of, I guess, fall. It's my official start of fall. I don't believe in the
summer people are going to get very upset with you right now.
Like, it's fall. And I use this as my time to start getting back into shape. It's like back to school, even though I haven't been
you
to school.
You get back into shape when you start, when hoodie season, like when the normal guys like myself start lifting heavier and it's bulk season, the opposite way?
There's no such thing as really a bulk season.
My it's bulk season all year for
my
me,
My bulk
man.
Season is whenever I'm lazy. So I was lazy for the past 6 months in the gym, and now it's September 1st. I'm like, you know what? It's football season.
Well, I think the Kingdom is opening soon, so we'll have a gym 4 miles from here.
You don't get that sense, though, around September that it's like a new beginning before.
I think that's because it's like a new school year. Yeah, even though it's not our school year, it's a new.
I guess conditioned that way as a kid to think September 1st is like.
Yeah, well, I agree because, you know, every August 1st that comes, the first thing that comes to mind was Bearcat football starts today. Meaning like Pop Warner football starts August 1st. I talked to Nick Schein about that the other day.
You guys opened up with Bishop Sycamore every year. They're a 26-year-old quarterback.
Got starched by Bishop
Sycamore. No, they didn't score.
Yeah, they didn't score a point. We'll get into that in a second, but I will promote all the podcasts that are going down right now today, all about the Star, Chart Choppers, the goddamn Jets. They're all back. Go download all those podcasts. They're great. Great episodes are live right now, and we're down one episode. We're down one podcast, which I think we made an executive move. You all right there, Chris?
Yeah, keep going.
There's another podcast live today I think you forgot to mention.
Oh, you know what? Then there are four Podcast Wednesday is still a thing because the Fantasy Guy is back. The Fantasy Guy podcast hosted by AJ Bascone and whatever that voice was yesterday. I was in the other office and I was almost scared out of my mind, Chris, right? I looked at you and I'm like, what is he? Is he yelling? Like, what is he? Goes, oh, that's
his alter ego.
That's the other guy. Well, and I'm like, what do you mean ego? Other
that's
guy?
This other guy that came in and did the podcast with AJ.
Oh, my God.
What's his name?
Tony Capriccio.
Tony Capriccio. Yeah, well, anyway, I just heard yelling and screaming, and I'm like, is everybody okay over there? And how about the best part about yesterday? When he's prepping for his show, we're all sitting in the office, well, the studio, and we're like, you know, we're doing our work or whatever, and he goes, hey, can the owners of Chop Sports
you both
get the fuck out? And I was like, wait, I'm sorry, what was that?
I respected it, though.
I respect it, too.
Even his admission right after, he was like, it took me like 2 minutes to work up the balls to tell you guys to leave the room.
That's amazing.
Like, but I just feel like I'll be more comfortable. And that's what you got
to
do.
To me, I was all for it, bro.
Exactly.
Good job, AJ. I mean, you grab the brass ring.
I think if you guys could both leave right now so I could do this show by myself, so I don't have to feel
You want
to
do the show by yourself? I'm out.
Anxiety with both
I got
of
a lot of
here.
Things to do today. I'll be out. We got a lot of stuff going on. It is September 1st. Officially, Chop Studios is now ours. We are landlords now on top of everything else. So that's a thing. We do share space with an acupuncturist, and we share space with Dave and Jay Versus the World, another great podcast, comedy podcast. You have to have a stomach for these guys. These guys, they literally pull no punches. So if you have that, like, that mentality where you're thinking, will they get canceled? I think that's what they're going for.
Yeah, you really can't cancel somebody that doesn't give a shit about getting canceled.
Correct. So
I said it before, like, we can't get canceled because we're not on yet. We're kind of on.
We're on, but we're every day we're talking about it. Like, what do we do next? Like, how about we focus on the NIL kids or this, that, and the third? And we have a lot of ventures here on the Chop Sports, you know, as a company. But, like, I definitely want to start, you know, getting back to our grassroots and getting this podcast, you know, hitting, clanging and banging. So, speaking of clanging and banging, Bishop Sycamore. Am I saying it right? Bishop Sycamore.
Yep.
Cam's
new squad.
This what?
Cam Newton's new squad.
Cam Newton's going to play there. Lori Loughlin, Aunt Becky from Full House is going to be the new head coach because apparently their head coach is wanted for what? He's got some kind of arrest warrant.
Yeah. Like,
this whole thing is crazy.
If he wasn't wanted before, he's most likely wanted now because it's
endangering
the wealth. First of all, there's two ways of looking at it. I don't know that all the people on the Bishop Sycamore team were not minors. Like, I think that some of them were adults, but some of them had to have been younger, right?
Apparently, the age range was from 15 years old to, like, 36 years old.
36?
No.
Yes.
Is that a thing?
What? Yes, I swear. And then
36?
I'm seeing
to play football.
Where it's like, imagine being a 36-year-old playing against a high school team and tearing your... Like, that was... I thought that was just a joke. Like,
no, that was actually 20. What happened.
So, 36. if we're getting really technical here, anybody that's under the age of 18 that got laid out for whatever reason, it's assault. Like, it's assault on a minor.
Yeah, well...
With no jurisdiction. There was no... Gaming commission, there was nothing on that.
I wouldn't say it's assault. Fuck
about catfish. ESPN got catfished.
Like, is it assault for the 36-year-old player playing? Is it assault for the coaches? Is it assault for ESPN? You know, there's so many adults that are complicit in this.
And something I want to bring up on the screen real quick is let's go ahead and look at their jerseys. How on earth did anybody think that's a legitimate football team?
Dude, look at that. Oh my God.
Two games in 3 days.
Oh, man. For a second there, I got scared. I was like, this guy rocking the Chop Sports logo on his helmet. But
they
it
played
was
two games in 3 days.
That's not good. This is like the you know who this reminds me of? This reminds me of, like, the Mean Machine from, like, the criminal team or whatever. Like this is insane. And this is criminal what they did.
I would love to go play for them.
And get starched the way they did. Here's the worst part.
Here's the thing. No, go
they
just
got crushed.
Imagine
got
being crushed. Able to. Bro, it's everyone that ever played high school football's dream, right? And the game is past them, you know? To be able to go back and play in a high school football game, only I wouldn't want to play ESPN against the number 4 ranked team in the nation.
That's like me and you saying, you know what? It's time to go see what the Colonia Patriots have. You know, and like me and you putting a team together, 35 and 39 years old, going out there playing football. Like, are you kidding?
I think that at this point, and I hate to admit this, but I would probably have like 2 or 3 good plays in me because I'd throw up. I played tennis last night. Oh, I forgot to mention.
What?
Bro.
Wow.
Me and Joey D, shout out to Joey D, went and played tennis. I've been talking shit since I got these tennis rackets to anyone that I usually
bought
like.
Tennis
like
rackets?
I was talking shit to Ash. I'm talking shit to Joey D. Shit to my brother. I told you this back in the day.
I don't remember you saying bought tennis rackets.
Yeah, I spent like $200 or like $170 on two tennis
Dr.
rackets.
Dr. Chuck is very excited right now if he's tuning in.
A set of tennis balls.
Uh-huh.
Good thing I brought 6 balls because I hit a couple home runs. Not going to lie. Not on purpose. But let's just say two things. One, I'm not as in shape as I thought I was, and this is why I say I'd probably last about 2 plays in a high school football game. And 2, Joey D's a lot better at tennis than I thought. I think he's taking lessons because
he was a sneaky good softball player too.
I got my fucking ass handed to me yesterday. I had no success early, and not to mention, bro, I go to the tennis courts, and there's a wait. You got to sit on the bench and like wait your turn. There's motherfuckers that are just playing tennis. There was 6 courts.
They're getting ready for the U.S. Open,
ten
baby.
Sets of people waiting. And we ended up getting stuck on the court next to fucking Pete Sampras and Novak Djokovic, right? And I'm sitting here
like,
look
at you naming tennis players.
I think that I'm going to come out here. Past. And honestly, I haven't played tennis in 15 years. And the last time I played it, I wasn't bad. I was bad this time. I'm telling you right now.
It takes a lot for you to admit that you're bad.
There's no way to gauge it. I had some success later on as the game went on. My serve on, if I nail my serve.
You're talking about up and whack?
Yeah.
Not like bouncing quack?
No, that's the second. When I fuck up the first one, then I just dink it in. But yeah, Joey D.
Tennis, bro.
Joey D put me in a blender last night.
That's so funny.
But my cardio held up better than I thought it would. I didn't throw up.
Oh, that's good. So you didn't look well after you roasted Scoop that one time, but then Scoop, I mean, he looked like he was gonna die. And shout out to Scoop, because I know you saw my little announcement that I'm returning to the wrestling world, and he was excited because one of his good friends is one of my good guys over there, Bobby Wayward. Can't wait for that. But
Scoop, if you want to get your ass beat in tennis, I could use a confidence boost. Not going to lie. Jesus Christ.
That's AJ, fantastic.
AJ said that he wants to make a commitment to getting healthy with me. So, yeah. AJ, you want to get your ass beat in tennis?
No, bro.
Want to play pickleball?
I'd rather want to watch
Jimmy. Jimmy Palumbo can play pickleball. All three of us can be stars at pickleball. Because I'm tired of Jimmy like being anything better than me physically right now. There's no way. There's no way. I took a picture of him when he was recording with Artie. He's like, look at me. I'm so fat.
Like, Jimmy said that he was the best outfielder on our softball team.
Is he high? Is like, come on. Jeez.
Not as high as me.
Oh, okay. But back to the sycamore thing. So the range is from 15 to full-blown adults is what we're reading. And not only that, they lose. Not only did they lose, but they got freaking handled. So these old men couldn't run with these young bucks. But like the bigger story is, how did it get to this point? Like, did ESPN really drop the ball where they're like, yeah, all right, we'll put you guys on? Like, did they no due diligence whatsoever?
I read some type of statement and ESPN just acted like it wasn't their fault.
No, of course it's not their fault. Because when they put out bad tweets, they delete them and say they were hacked, right? I mean, that's ESPN personalities.
I don't
have done
know
that.
How it could not be ESPN's fault.
It's absolutely ESPN's
they're
fault.
They're like, oh, we couldn't confirm or prove that the D1 players that they were claiming were on the roster were actually on the roster. So it's like, okay, so until you get a confirmation, don't air the game. It's not like you don't have fucking billions of sports broadcasts that you could just put on instead.
Right. That's such a weird, wacky
story.
How
do they know? How do they get a two games in 3 days?
I don't know, man. That's crazy.
I can't move right now. I'm, think about being the 36-year-old player on that team, having to play a football game,
right?
And then 2 days later, when you're dead, having to play another football game. I can't even barely play a doubleheader in fucking co-ed softball.
And that starts next week too, which I'm not playing game one because it's game one of Dallas, so I'm not in. So I'll have to talk to Liz about that. But that Chop Sports softball is back. The jersey's right here as I point to it. I don't know why I couldn't just point to the jersey. I was like looking at myself. It's right here. One of our retired jerseys. And that was just an extra jersey that was ordered. But yeah, anyway. Just a crazy, crazy story. And I think it's going to go down. Like Barstool already went nuts with it. And they picked up a fantastic merchandise where it's just a black helmet and says Bishop Sycamore. Like basically team apparel. A team apparel of a team that doesn't exist. I love it. Like I'm here for it. It's just, I don't know. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. What else we got, AJ? Let's see. The NFL Players Association. So Urban Meyer is your newest head coach in the NFL, and he's already in some hot water. Apparently, there's an investigation. Jacksonville Jaguars made their cuts down to 53, but a lot of their cuts apparently rumored to be linked to vaccination status. Here's the thing, and I'll say this. This, I have no idea. I do have an idea what the protocols are in the NFL, right? But, like, don't you think vaccination status does hold weight considering the fact that, like, all right, let's just say you have your 53-man roster and only 40 of those guys are vaccinated. So that means 13 dudes need daily tests and all this other crap and, basically going against the grain. And when I say grain, I just mean vaccination, not saying you have to or don't have to. But what I think is, it should hold some weight over your position on the team if you don't want to lose that player. That foreseen player could be out for 10 days if he catches COVID. So why would I want that player on my team? You understand what I'm saying? Like, does that make sense?
If he's good, then you want him on the team because...
Well, good is he if he can't play.
But my point being is if he can't play for 10 days because then you're going to cut him and not have him forever, I'd rather not have him for 10 days. That being said, I don't think it's a rumor that it's being that guys were being cut because of that, because he straight up said, I'm taking that into consideration when making roster evaluation.
Apparently, Belichick did not take that consideration in the cut, in the release of Cam Newton.
See, that's layered as well. Now, Cam Newton, whether he has his vaccination or not, Belichick is saying that had no factor in it. But his misinterpretation and misunderstanding of the COVID protocol, now that, very much so, I think had a lot to do with it. Where it's just like, Cam has been frustrating the Patriots. It's not like he's out there lighting it up.
No,
so it's not like Cam is out there lighting it up. He's a bit of a diva. And then his lack of understanding of what he's supposed to, what his job is, whether you want to get the vaccination or not, that's besides the point. What his job is to adhere to the protocols, because you're getting paid a lot of money and you have a good opportunity to play in the NFL. So adhere to the protocols. I don't think that any team is mandating a vaccine, are they?
No.
Maybe one or two?
No, right? I don't think any.
So you don't have to get the vaccine. You can still play. You just got to go through some more bullshit. If that's the
you
case.
You basically have to go through 2020 bullshit.
Now, what I think it is daily, it has nothing to do testing with the vaccination. They're not going to cut you if you didn't get vaccinated in New England. But if you now come with this list of extracurriculars that you need to do because you're not vaccinated, you don't adhere to those, then you could go. And correct. I think that's the case with Cam.
That could be a
plus
thing.
I don't think Cam outplayed Mac Jones in the preseason, and what's the point in middling behind Cam Newton? If you're going to middle behind a quarterback, there's a good offensive line in New England. Just let fucking Mac
Jones within
go.
This recording of this podcast and this live show, I believe we're going to get through that 24-hour waiver period that he was subject to. Nobody claimed him. Nobody's. Cam Newton's going to be officially a free agent, and he can just go wherever he wants. But if you claimed him, you have to pay him what he had left, right?
That wasn't much.
No, it doesn't matter, but I'm saying now you can get him even cheaper.
Yeah.
Because he's coming for the league minimum. There's no way Cam Newton's in a position where I want $5 million with incentives. That ship is sailed.
If anybody was going to claim Cam and they really wanted him, they would have made the trade already for a seventh rounder. And that's how that would have went down.
Well, no, because he becomes available.
They didn't just up and cut Cam. I could guarantee you they released the news last week because they wanted to let everybody know that this isn't our fault. Then yesterday they released him. In that week, they were shopping Cam.
You think
there's
so?
There's no doubt. Yeah, that's the NFL business. They're not going to just be like, fuck you, go. They'll be like, anybody want Cam Newton? If not, we're going to put him on waivers. No team really thought that Cam was worth the pick because they know he could clear waivers. So if there was going
to
be,
and he's about to.
Yeah.
So
if any team was going to claim him, I think that they would have traded for him already.
Yeah, I guess you got a point there. So Belichick and Urban Meyer both coming, pretty much coming to the forefront of this whole vaccination garbage that's happening. Vikings make the news because of the loss of Irv Smith Jr. They get Chris Herndon, fantasy guy. Okay. Did I just squeak there? But anyway, what does that do for the Jets, because they've basically given up on Herndon because that was a project for a couple of years and just never panned out. But B, what does this do? Is Herndon worth picking up if you're a Vikings, if you're looking for a tight end deep in the draft or free agency?
So basically looking at the draft yesterday that I was doing, I think Herndon is a pretty good option late in the draft, considering the role that Irv Smith Jr. was slated to have. I think Herndon can slip into there fairly easily, and I feel like he's a very athletic guy. In terms of the Jets, I mean, I don't think Herndon was very fantasy relevant on the Jets, and I think Croft could be a decent. Now, don't even draft him. I don't know. Don't draft the Jets tight end.
And you're hearing these whispers, the same ones I am, that Zach Ertz could be on the move.
Yeah, Zach Ertz apparently could be on the move to the Jets, but we'll see in the
And if he's
days.
Traded to the Eagles, it's not like he's got to uproot his family. You know, it's right down the block. You know what I mean? So it's not like these are the cross-country moves where you got to move to L.A. You know, you're going from Philly to New York, so it's not that big a deal. And, for an entire offseason, people thought that the days of Zach Ertz were done anyway in Philly. So if you can get something for him, like a late, you know.
Is this something that we're just coming up with?
It was trending on Twitter yesterday for a little while, the Zach Ertz to the Jets move, because of the fact that Herndon was moved. Now the Jets are rocking Tyler Croft. And Croft is serviceable, don't get me wrong. He had some decent days in Cincinnati, but, what you're going to do at tight end is beyond me, man. I don't know. The Jets have to do something. I don't think that's not good for a rookie quarterback to have Tyler Croft as your guy, your safety net. You always need a good tight end safety net, especially when you're young. I don't think this is a good play for the Jets to get rid of Herndon, considering the fact that Herndon is still young, but he's been around the block. You know, he's been here. So,
well, they might know something that we don't.
Maybe. I don't know. What else? I don't know why you put this because I think it's going to be retracted anytime soon. Jalen Hurts named the starter in Philadelphia. I think that, again, this is coach speak. This is exactly what you said about Flores yesterday, Chris, is when you said Flores like shot down all the trade rumors to give the confidence boost to Tua that he was the guy. But like, I don't foresee this is the move that the Eagles head coach, the new kid, had to make and say like, yes, you're the guy until somebody else becomes available. Right. I mean, that's where we're at.
I don't think so. I think Jalen Hurts is giving the keys at this point. What else are they going to do? It's not like there's some guy.
That's what we thought, but they kept adding and adding and adding. And like
the guys that they added, Joe Flacco.
Okay.
He's damn near dead.
We got
Gardner Minshew. He's one as good as he is as far as like the
hype man,
or whatever you want to call it. He's a personality, but he doesn't win football games.
Correct.
It's been 2 or 3 years in Jacksonville, and they've had a little bit of promise. He actually made the team worse. They didn't they make an AFC championship in the last 5 years?
That was with Bortles, yeah.
With Bortles?
Oh, boy.
Right?
Then the boat.
Minshew comes in, and they went downhill. Now, granted, they blew up their entire roster. It's not really his fault, but
literally shipped everybody out of town.
But Jalen Hurts, they invested as a second-round pick on Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They made him pay his dues this offseason and this training camp. He earned the job. I don't think that the Minshew trade really has any legs as far as a starter. I think that he's a clear-cut backup in the league. Otherwise, Jacksonville wouldn't have made the move at, well, I mean, I guess you have to take Lawrence, but Jacksonville would have kept him around maybe as the backup. I don't fucking know. But Jalen Hurts is the guy in Philly. I don't think that them bringing in Minshew or Joe Flacco or who else did they bring in?
Nick Mullins
at one point. They cut him. He was actually picked up on waivers from the Cleveland Browns.
To me, all these guys are backup quarterbacks at this point in their career.
Yeah, I guess you have a point there. But guys that aren't going to be starting the season on the field, Michael Thomas, Stephon Gilmore, David Bakhtiari, Tariq Cohen, as of this morning, was announced that he's going to start on the PUP. So these PUP listings are 6 weeks minimum. They will not, and if their bye falls in there, great. If it doesn't, then you're going to miss that extra game. So if you have that bye in week 5 or 6, I think the bye start in week, didn't we say this? 6.
I thought it was 6.
Yeah. So that, six, yeah. So some of these guys maybe
there's one miss player. Only five I'm not games. Sure. It might be Michael Thomas, I think, that's missing 5 games. I think the Saints have an early bye.
Yeah, he is only missing 5 games.
Yeah. So, I mean, and Michael Thomas, I was talking to, Alan Austin yesterday on Chart Choppers because we did the NFC South. In which he ready for this? I was like, if you were here, you would have went nuts. He put Tom Brady as the best player in the NFC South, and it made me sick. And he's like, oh, well, look at all those Super Bowls. I'm like, no. Your list is best players. So definitely go check out those lists. They're interesting. Me and Gooch joined them. This actually, the one that dropped today was the NFC North. So
yeah,
it's a Packer heavy podcast. So.
I mean, let's.
It should be.
All right,
like it should be.
If we're ranking the top 10 players in the NFC North. It should be Packer heavy, like you said.
Yes.
100%. There's about seven of them.
Yeah, NFC South, we actually did. Ready for this? we were like, Dave's got to stay, right? He's got to do all these. He goes, he springs this on me. I'm over there, right? And the second one was the NFC South that we recorded yesterday. He's like, by the way, this is top 20. And I was like, what? Right? But we flew through the first 10. But yeah, it was very Bucks heavy. As today, as a matter of fact, we do the New Orleans Saints. But I'm talking about Michael Thomas, so this is kind of like, you know, kind of fits. Michael Thomas, to me, he's falling in a lot of fantasy drafts because of the fact that he's not gonna be there. But the fact that he didn't catch any touchdowns last year, right? Dak Prescott caught more touchdowns than Michael Thomas did last year. True story. All right, and Dak missed the entire year. But when I look at a team like the Saints, and we'll get into him more, but when I look into a specific player like Michael Thomas, do you foresee him getting back to form when he's back, or is this ship sailed? And like, is this can't guard Mike go all the way to guardable?
I've been off to Michael Thomas.
So have I, but I just wanted to
figure. Before last season started, I think that there's a potential that he doesn't even play. I don't know. Like, there's weird things going on with these receivers sometimes where he feels he's more important to the offense than he actually is. I don't ever think that he was really that great.
Mm.
People are saying they got him. Ben saying he's got him in a 10th round as a steal. You might have just wasted a 10th round pick, to be honest.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, now you have to sit on.
There is potential. I know AJ's high on Michael Thomas, but I think
I was going to say, I'd love him.
As the season approaches.
He also said he'll take him at 70% as a solid wide receiver, too.
No, there's no such thing as a wide receiver at 70%.
That's right, exactly. Good in the NFL. It's tough. I don't know. But we'll get more into the Saints. But I do want to throw it over to AJ. There was baseball. I don't want to dive too much into baseball because it's making me sick right now. The Yankees all of a sudden flying high, 13 games in a row. Looked like they're just going to never lose again, right? Like that's the way they were playing baseball. And all of a sudden they just can't get it done on the West Coast. First of all, I'm not staying up for any of this crap. So I'm actually waking up to the news like Yankees lose again. Yankees lose again. But and shout out to Kyle Kerms, by the way, who's putting the hex on the Yankees and it sparked a debate with Kenny Levine. He's back. He resurfaced on the Chop Sports Facebook page. But AJ, hit him with the update because, again, I can't talk too much about the Yankees because I'm just, at this point, I'm pissed off.
All right. We're here with the Curtis Sells Houses Sports Update. For all your realty needs, make sure to hit up the man, Curtis Counts. For the first game, we have a double, well, I guess not a first game. For the first two games, we have a doubleheader between the Mets and the Marlins. The Mets were able to get both of those games done at home. They won 6-5 and 3-1. Then the Angels were able to get a nice victory over the Yankees, 6-4. Ohtani steals home in that game. Phillies club the Washington Nationals in D.C., 12-6. Let's head over to Toronto, where the Orioles are able to get a surprise victory against the Blue Jays, 4-2. Tampa Bay Rays, again, beat the Boston Red Sox. They are proving their dominance in the AL East. They win that game 8-5. A's get a nice victory over the Tigers, 9-3. We got the White Sox beating the Pittsburgh Pirates at home. Grandal and Abreu homer in that one. Padres get an absolute eyewear shutout Bing. Against Arizona Diamondbacks, which is shocking because Blake Snell has absolutely sucked this year. Milwaukee Brewers. We got the Brewers getting a nice victory against the San Francisco Giants in San Fran. Lorenzo Cain homers. Woodruff pitches another gem. The guy's on fire this year. They win that one 6-2. Dodgers, close victory over the Braves, 3-2. Seager leads them in that one. And then the Mariners finish it off with another absolute eyewear shutout as they beat the Houston Astros 4-0. That is your AJ Sports update.
I would say, first and foremost, there's no better absolute eyewear shutout than when the Astros get shut out. I will say that because that's a beautiful thing. But anyway, good job, AJ, on that. Again, baseball to me, it's not over by any stretch. I think the Yankees have a good chance to host the wild card game, which I think that's going to be a thing. Who they pitch in that game, like they don't even have a clear cut number two right now. And it's really like starting to bother me because it's not Kluber off injury. It's certainly not Taillon, you know.
It's Cortez at this point.
I mean, that's crazy to me. He's like an opener, you know, like he's not even a real starter to me.
I mean, he's been.
I know, but it just, I don't know. It just, I guess it's not really gelling with me right now. So anyway, let's pay some bills. When we come back, we got the New Orleans Saints coming up on day 24 of our 32 teams in 32 days. So call all your Saints fans because after the break, we're talking all about New Orleans and where the hell are they going to play their opening couple games because of all the crap that's happening right now. So let's take a break. And when we come back, the New Orleans Saints. What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I'm here to let you guys know about some new happenings with Joe Pizzamenti of Attitude of Gratitude Consulting. This time around, I want to bring you guys up to speed on some of the amazing health and wellness products. These products focus on providing happiness for people, bringing out the four happy hormones in our body. That right away makes me happy. These products aid weight loss, sleep, mental clarity, and energy, just to name a few. They have even created your morning coffee to get your day started off right. That's not all, guys. Joe is in the giving mood, so now if you mention Chop Sports, he's going to provide you with a free discounted private travel website that you can use to book your travel needs. Even better, if you become a customer of Joe's, he's going to give you guys a travel voucher that you can use for up to a year and are only responsible for airfare and taxes. Visit attitudeofgratitudellc.com for more information. ChopSports.shop is the place to be. Go grab all your merchandise. We're really excited because tomorrow, obviously, big, heavy Rutgers presence within the Chop athletes, and they start their season with Temple tomorrow night. Starch, Gooch, AJ, getting involved with Jimmy Palumbo and that whole crew for Rutgers opening night. We're very excited. And then Friday, I mean, then we got Woodbridge Colonia. So football is back. College, pro, that's me. College, pro, and everything like that. We're excited about it. So it is time now for the absolute eyewear. 32 teams and 32 days coverage of the National Football League, and we move on to the defending NFC South champions, which again, caught me by surprise. I obviously knew it happened, but like when you talk about the Bucks, you always just picture like they ran through the league last year, and they didn't. The Saints won the division last year. I personally believe that this year is going to be a tough sledding for the Saints. I think that they're going to be the team to fall off the most. It's not any, you know, it's no disrespect to any of my Saints fans, friends out there. I think I have one, maybe two. But, you know, at the top of this team, you know, are you convinced, Gooch, I'll throw it to you, are you convinced that Jameis Winston could be a success in New Orleans given the entire season? Well, yeah, I'll just take that first because yes, I have another follow-up.
I do believe Jameis Winston can be a success. I think he's a former first pick, right? He was the first pick overall,
yep.
Right? So he's a former number one pick. It's not like he's old, right? Is he still on the right side of 30, right? He's what's he, 28?
I don't 27? Know about that.
He's 27.
Oh, okay. 27, right? He has had success in the league throwing the ball. In the air raid, I'll use Sean Boyan's term, risk it for a biscuit attack that, that Bruce Arians was giving him. He really didn't have a chance to succeed. They had great receivers, so they were just airing it out every fucking play. In this system, he's going to pass the ball to Kamara out of the backfield. You start the game off by getting him a little high
volume and high
volume.
Confidence.
I wouldn't say high volume. I'm looking for the right word here. You guys going to pick me up?
No. High volume when it comes to high percentage throws.
High percentage throws, Dave. There it is.
I'm so going
to open the
I
game
do.
With high percentage throws to Kamara and throwing slants to whatever receivers they have over there now. I don't think Michael Thomas is going to play this season, I just said. But I don't think that's going to matter. I think that might actually be of a benefit to them because I think his best days are behind him. And, yeah, you bring that into the – you bring into consideration the fact that they are going to keep teams honest by bringing in Taysom Hill.
See, that's where I think he kind of gets drawn. I think that's where the thing goes wrong for Jameis Winston. Leave it up to Sean Payton, who is a very creative, good, offensive-minded coach. Don't get me wrong. He's had some of the best offenses on the planet, right? But I think that this is a – it's a tough thing. You're expecting Jameis Winston to come in there and lead your team, right? Because you're a QB1. You are the name of the starter. How many times are we going to see Taysom Hill – in there, and like even when Jameis is hot, let's just say he gets a lot of those high percentage throws. Oh, no, it's third and two. We're gonna bring it. Come on out, Jameis.
They did that with Drew Brees.
Yeah,
and
but
Drew Brees didn't have any issue with it. I think there's the underlying point that you're kind of overlooking is the fact that maybe Winston might have something going on inside when that happens. But then you draw on the fact that the guy that I'm replacing in Drew Brees is a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he didn't have a problem with it, so how the fuck could I? And I think there is that aspect of
I
it.
Guess.
And I just have it in my heart and my head that NFL players need to not be soft. If you come out of a game for a series because the coach thinks it's what's the best thing for the team, then you do it. Now, I could guarantee you that when it's crunch time and they need to throw the football, it's not going to be Taysom Hill. It's going to be Jameis Winston on third and long, they're not going to have Taysom Hill in. When there's 2 minutes to go and they need 80 yards, it's not going to be Taysom Hill. I could guarantee you that. If I'm wrong.
I have a question. And this is like an overall general football question. Not just like, but even with, like, this is a Taysom Hill situation or when they do these gadget things, right? Why does the quarterback line up as a receiver? Like, what, if you're going to make that switch and you're going to need Taysom Hill to take the snap, just get off the field. You're almost wasting an 11th man. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of times you're like, oh, there's Drew Brees lined up as a receiver. Yeah, because he's going to run an out route. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what are you doing there? You're just subjecting him to get jammed and killed.
You could, I guess, lead the defense to believe that there might be a trick play coming or something.
So what,
some
keeping
sort.
The defense honest
but
is the
I
only
feel
reason?
Like it's already, they're already on high alert.
Because he's behind
it's a trick
there.
Play.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know.
I just never found that to be a thing, like at
that
any point.
I agree.
Like, just get off the field. Like, if you're going to replace a quarterback for a gadget play or a gadget run or whatever the case, you know that's going to be a thing anyway.
Here's the one thing that I'll say maybe is the case in that, right? Mm-hmm. When you have certain personnel out there, right, the receiver is irrelevant anyway. And if you have certain
personnel.
So it's
like goal line and there's
one
guy
if you
out.
Have certain personnel out there, the defense substitutions, they might put in certain players and you want, like, a power approach, Drew Brees might not be getting the ball anyway. He might be away from the play. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
So you bring in maybe one less linebacker and have the corner in, and it's a run play. So there's just it's just a small
one
mismatch.
One less good tackler on the field, basically. I guess
when you're coaching and when you're doing things like that, that's what separates good teams and great teams,
right?
Or bad teams and good teams, or a good coach and a bad coach is like the attention to detail. It might not matter, but it could be set up for the following week it could be set up for next week's game.
True.
Who knows?
True. All right. So we spend a lot of time on the quarterback, but now you move on to Alvin Kamara, who's definitely an all-world talent. I don't find him to be a three-down back anymore. I don't think that that's a thing. I don't think it's appropriate for him because I don't think that it's good for the offense if he's in there every single down and just gets beaten to dust the entire time. And yes, he's shifty. Yes, he can catch the ball. Yes, he scored, 25 touchdowns in that game on Christmas or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, so I know he's got it in him. Latavius Murray might be the best complimentary back in football, I think. So the running game is strong. I just don't know. I always know a good running game helps a bad quarterback, or not even a bad quarterback, an experienced quarterback, rookie quarterback, a good running game. But you want the guy that can kind of pound the rock and get all those touches. I don't know if Alvin Kamara is that guy. Like, I think he's more of a scat back, like a flashy dude that they're going to have some nice little screen passes designed for. But like when it's third and one, you're not handing the ball to Alvin Kamara up the gut. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at, we had almost had 200 carries last year. Latavius Murray had 150, so you're probably right. It does keep him healthy. Mm-hmm. But Kamara is definitely a complete back. I just think the amount he catches the ball out of the backfield, why even beat him up? There's a guy like Latavius Murray who you have. It's across the league. It's a running back by committee. But Kamara is a top three running back in the NFL right now, regardless of which way you slice it. And a lot of their offense really is. I think he had 100 targets last year, maybe even more. So a lot of their offense is throwing him the ball out of the backfield. It's high efficient. What is it?
High percentage throws. Yeah.
High percentage. So you got to use him out of the backfield in the best way possible that suits his skill set. Sean Payton is really good at doing that. I just wouldn't write off the Saints offense just yet.
All right. Well, then we can continue down with the wide receivers. Now, no Michael Thomas for 6 weeks. So now your wide receiver, that entire room is led by Tre'Quan Smith. Marquez Callaway, who came on in the preseason, caught a couple touchdown passes from Jameis Winston, in which I think that's what got him the job. You know what I mean? Like showing that he can, lead a receiver still and still make those good throws. And Deontay Harris, and let's not forget about your former guy, Ty Montgomery, on this list, who's now listed as a receiver again. So it's like that kid's all over the place. Like he can do it all, and I get it. And you saw it. He's a gadget guy, so he can everything.
He could fumble kickoffs against the Rams.
The only thing I will say is that the departure of Jared Cook for a young-ish quarterback. I can't even call Jameis Winston young, really. You're young when you're 23, 24. When you get those 4 years under your belt, you become that you should be in your prime shit. You know what I mean? You should be in that. And I still think Jameis Winston's working out a lot of kinks. But he doesn't have a tight end to throw to. And look, Troutman's good.
Sneaky.
He's sneaky okay. He's
sneaky at the back end of a draft.
Yeah, no,
if you're going to back up your tight end spot, which in certain leagues, you kind of might need to, depending on where you draft your tight end.
Mm-hmm.
If I wait on a tight end, I usually pick a backup.
Mm-hmm.
And Troutman is definitely on the radar for my backup tight end. He'll be added to all rosters in all fantasy leagues this year at one point or another. If he stays, it's another story.
He is the Giovanni Bernard of tight ends. So he'll be getting there. Their offensive line, now, that's something that's still really good. Teron Armstead popped up on Char Choppers' list of top players in the NFC South. That's how good that dude is. Their offensive line is pretty good. So, yeah, look, I'm not going to write off this offense completely, obviously, but it is a downgrade. It's not Drew Brees. And even when Drew Brees wasn't Drew Brees anymore, got things
that's
done.
That's what I'm thinking. I think it might actually be, in some ways, an upgrade for the offense.
Yeah, see, you know how you're saying this? Okay, you're saying this as if the same guys that said when Dak went down, Andy Dalton might be able to run this offense better he's a drop-back passer and he can...
First of all, it's not going to be the same offense. They're gonna do things differently.
They have to cater it.
But that's the reason why I think in some ways it's going to be an upgrade, because Jameis Winston, for better or for worse, could 100% do things athletically and physically that Drew Brees just simply wasn't able to do. You agree with that?
Correct. Yeah. Sure.
So in some ways, that as far as throwing the deep ball and things like that,
right,
the offense has a little more to offer while still being able to do the underneath stuff. Now, do I think he's going to be able to do the pre-snap shit? No. Not the way Drew Brees was. Is he going to be able
to... Drew Brees will get in your head.
As accurate? Absolutely not.
Right.
But Drew Brees was known to throw picks, too. So
I've seen it. Yeah. No, he wasn't perfect by any stretch, but he's an all-world player, first ballot Hall of Famer. But switching over to the defense, I'm still a fan of Cam Jordan. As much of a pain in the ass as he is on or off the field, Cam Jordan is the guy. Marcus Davenport is the other edge rusher. Inside, they have Malcolm Roach and Shai Tuttle, guys that I really can't speak on. Their linebacking core, I like it. DeMario Davis, Quan Alexander, sure. They still have one of the better corners in the league in Marshawn Lattimore. The defense will get things done. As much as I keep reading off these guys, oh my God, and you know what I just realized? Third string, free safety, the GOAT himself, Jeff Heath. My Cowboy fans know who Jeff Heath is. Malcolm Jenkins, I hate his guts as a person, but you know, I think he's a serviceable guy. Played at Piscataway High School, New Jersey, represent. Also played at Ohio State, right? Yes, Malcolm Jenkins, Ohio State, I think.
Not sure.
Okay, good.
I think so, but I also anyway, don't
doesn't
know.
Matter. But the defense is good. I think that there's going to be... again, I've said it since Jump Street that there's going to be some kind of regression in the Saints. Now that I look up and down this roster, maybe I'm wrong.
I have something to note.
Sure.
Instead of referencing Jeff Heath's bum ass.
Wow. First of all, oh boy. All right, go ahead. Just go ahead.
We got Brian,
I have nothing for you.
If you look at the Saints secondary, right now they only have three active cornerbacks. And Brian Poole, who I would consider the second best cornerback on the roster, is now placed on the IR. So they have three corners.
Okay.
Scary.
But time to pull up the old Saints schedule there, AJ, right, instead of talking shit to me.
That's good to know for week one.
Yeah.
I don't know what after that.
Well, here's my thing. Now, so the hurricane that blasted through New Orleans again, I feel like we're living in the past right now with another hurricane, a lot of disaster relief happening right now. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of, you know, shifts and movements. So that first game against Green Bay might not be played or pretty much will not be played in New Orleans. They're already talking to a couple other fields. Then they go on the road for two and then back home by October. So you would think it's by October 3rd.
They'll probably just lose one game.
That's what I'm thinking. They'll lose a game literally and figuratively. I think they're going to lose that game anyway. But their schedule is relatively favorable maybe in the first five. I don't see them beating Green Bay, not even close at that point. I think Green Bay's on a little bit of a, you know, a mean streak going into this season, considering how it ended last year. They'll probably be the one seed in the NFC. But then at Carolina, and just so you know, I'm not kissing Gucci's ass by any stretch. This is actually my thoughts. So I actually think
the Packers roster is,
yes, they're very deep.
Legit.
So anyway, they go on the road to Carolina. They could probably grab that one. And then Jameis Winston has to go to Mac Jones and the New England Patriots. And then they play the Giants and then at Washington. So right off the bat, in the first five games, I could see them winning two or three. They lose to Green Bay and they probably lose to Washington in Washington. I think Washington's a little better than I had anticipated, or at least wanted them to be, but they'll probably get that done. That's going to be a hell of a gunslinger fight. Fitzpatrick versus Jameis Winston. There's going to be 87 combined throws in that game minimum.
They used to alternate snaps back in the day. So
that's true.
Winston's used to coming off the field for another quarterback.
Yeah. So that first week, then the early bye. So Michael Thomas is technically only going to miss five games. If he's ready to go, he'll make his debut on the 25th of October against Seattle in Seattle on Monday Night Football. So hello storyline. So that could be a thing. Seattle's going to be tough. Tampa Bay, their division, obviously, when they play teams like Tampa Bay twice, that doesn't really bode well for them. But I think they can at least split with Carolina and split with Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta to us isn't going to have that good of a year. So it's a possibility. The over-under is set at 9 wins for this Saints team. When you look down the schedule, you know, the games that pop up at me, they have to go at Tennessee. They get Dallas at home on a Thursday. I believe that's the Thursday after Thanksgiving. This has happened multiple times. But Dallas will be on the road, in which, again, with that secondary, I don't know what it's going to look like in December. So who knows? Maybe Jameis Winston throws for 500 against Dallas' defense. That's very possible. The games against Tampa, up and down the schedule, Gooch, I feel like it's easy. It's not that hard. There's the wins to be had for the New Orleans Saints. As much as I was dogging them, the over-under is 9.
I'm curious to know where you're at, because as you're dogging them all offseason, I'm kind of like saying, you know what, they might not be as bad as you think. And then you're saying the schedule looks easy. I'm looking at it. I don't think it's that easy, man.
Yeah,
I mean, we're looking at Green Bay, that's tough. The Patriots, we don't know about. That could be tough. You say Carolina's better than they've been. I don't really believe in that. So, but then you look at the Green Bay, Washington, Seattle, Tampa Bay, Tennessee, Buffalo, Dallas, Tampa Bay again.
Even if I'll give this Saints team, I'm going to go ahead and give them 9-8.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at. So it's a push on the over-under on the win total because, and that's so stupid of Vegas to keep doing this with the over-unders on a solid number. That just makes no sense to me. I don't know how you make any money. But the over-under is 9. I'm giving them the 9 wins, a 9-8 season for the New Orleans Saints, and that will not obviously be good enough. As we pick the division winner today, it's clearly and above and beyond. It's Tampa Bay.
I'm looking at the schedule, and while I don't think the team is going to be as bad, I don't think they're going to have much success. I think they'll maybe lose a lot of tough games, but I got to go 8-9.
Under 500.
I see it as like they're pretty much almost guaranteed to lose 6 or 7 of those games. I find it hard to believe that the ones that I see them having a chance to win, they're going to win all of them. They're not going to win all those games.
So win some of them. They'll be relevant in some of these games.
8-9 is going to be my final number.
We got one opinion online that is Big Ben Wexler going 7-10. So he thinks the Saints are in that regression period as well. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I've been dogging him for a couple weeks now, but I'm going to say 9-8. They get over the hump, a 500 hump, because you can't finish 500 this year, thank God, for Dallas' sake. But I think that the 9-8 won't get it done. They won't make the playoffs. This is going to be a team that misses the playoffs, and then they reassess what they want to do at the quarterback position going forward. Because as much as Jameis Winston can possibly throw for all these yards and all these touchdowns, it's about winning games in the NFL. I don't care how many stats you have. It's about winning games, and I don't think he gets enough wins this year to be excited going forward as a Saints fan. You know, and I'm sure, again, I have Craig, the big deal, Craig Steele, Craig Karsh. He's the one that says, like, Jameis looked fantastic the other night. Like, yes, there's going to be games where he looks incredible, you know what I mean? But I don't foresee him being the guy, like the long-term answer
in New Orleans. We'll see. Like I said, he's 27.
I'm not saying he's old. Success,
it's not easy to come by quarterbacks in this league. So unless they have a viable option to replace him and some money, which I don't believe that there's either right now.
No, they're always in the red.
I don't know that they're going to be a team that's going to pick at the top of the draft because I see them at least being middle of the road. So there's a chance that they could land a quarterback in the draft midway through the first round or early second round, something like that. But I wonder what their draft situation is like.
As far as having capital,
yeah. Do they have a lot of draft capital going forward?
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting to note.
I guess it really doesn't matter.
But at 9-8, you're going to find yourself in the middle of the round anyway. You're going to find yourself in
Regardless, they're not really in a position to sign a quarterback in the offseason. I don't think there's going to be any good quarterbacks available in this day in the NFL.
I mean, I guess the only ones it'll be a bunch of seasoned vets.
Yeah, you're going to have to make a trade, overpay for a guy like a Jimmy G and get rid of whatever draft capital you have.
I never even thought about Jimmy G. That's not a bad play. That's not a bad play at all for the Saints. And that offense, the way it's kind of molded, that's not a bad play at all. That's a very good call. I like that. Shout out to Ben, who thinks that Winston's an interception machine. That was before his LASIK surgery, bro. So now he can see the field. So we'll see.
I don't know if anybody cares, but I do have the Saints as 8-9.
Oh, I'm sorry, AJ. Yeah. My bad. Jesus Christ. You okay over there, bro?
Nah, I'm just you got Ben involved with his goddamn record, but I don't get to freaking have my record on the show. What the hell is this?
I feel that, AJ.
Oh, man. And I felt that. I felt that, too. That was pretty rough, but I'm so sorry about that, AJ.
It's okay.
I'm just going to bring up Bishop Sycamore again. You can all get their uniforms.
Look at those kids.
But anyway, that is your New Orleans Saints preview for the 2021 team. 9-8 over here. 9-8 with 8-9 in Gucci and 8-9. So that graphic will be made later as we crown the division champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No objections there, fellas, based off records?
No, it's
a foregone conclusion. They're in a similar situation that the Packers are. Just bad division. Just a division they can run through. Tampa Bay will win that division by 5 games this year, okay? That's where I think this can happen. If we all have Tampa winning 12, 13, 14 games, you know what I mean? Like, that's going to be a massive mark. That division might be a lock before Thanksgiving. Which is nuts.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the other, maybe the Kansas City out west and the AFC is gonna have an easy road as well. Green Bay might have a real easy way, but somehow that division always tightens up. So.
A comment coming in from YouTube, Joe LaCorey. Worst pregame hype man of all time, Jameis Winston. Definitely with the whole, I'll take the win. I'm like, what are you doing? Stop it, bro. I
fucking love it.
You can't love that.
No,
love
I do.
It. No.
I love it.
Oh, you're both sick.
It's better than Andy Dalton when he.
It's better than Drew Brees.
What? Better than only Andy Dalton. What? What did Andy Dalton
Andy
do
Andy Dalton went to hype up the Bengals before a playoff game.
How hard that is to do? He was to hype up the Bengals?
And you know what he said? He said, Let's get out there.
And then- it's better than Drew Brees. Drew Brees is a fucking dork doing that shit. Stop, Drew.
Well, Drew Brees is no longer there, and I hope that Jameis Winston licks all his fingers before the games for New Orleans. So.
I'm here for all the Jameis.
You're out of your mind. That's such a sickening. It's just like it's just gross, bro. Like, I don't know, man. Licking your fingers, like
he wasn't and then, actually.
I see a wind coming. I'm like, what the fuck? Stop. Like that. Ugh, not gross.
He's eating W's.
Oh, yeah, eating W's. He's going to be eating a lot of sacks through this year if that offensive line doesn't hold up. So anyway, with that being said, this has been the New Orleans Saints preview. This has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast. Guys, if you're out there in New Brunswick tomorrow, go check out Rutgers football. They're opening their season. I'll be there. We'll be there. It's going to be fun. Crab legs for life. Oh, Christ. Scoop is he's on his game today. So anyway, Rutgers tomorrow. You got Woodbridge Barons taking on the Colonia Patriots on Friday night. You got a big weekend ahead. This is the last weekend without the NFL regular season. The last one. Because next week, Thursday night, the Cowboys kick off, and then we are off to the races. We got to get some kinks worked out in this place because we are week away from getting this live stream show going on Sunday. So for Sturch, Gooch over there, and of course AJ behind the glass, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast, and we'll see you guys on a thirsty Thursday getting ready for some Rutgers football.
Does everybody like my China special hoodie?
It looks great.
Isn't that the one that the umpire asked Ashley who that was or something like that? Remember?
Yeah.
She
yeah.
wore it to the softball game.
Also, it comes with the Wuhan mask, so.
Please cut this shit.